Imagine a society with no king, no nobles, no executive authority, yet somehow maintaining order for over three centuries. This wasn't some utopian fantasy, but Viking Age Iceland, perhaps history's most fascinating social laboratory. When Norse settlers arrived on this remote island in the 9th century, they deliberately created something revolutionary, a functioning society without centralized power. Instead of submitting to the emerging monarchies back in Scandinavia, these independent-minded settlers established a system based on consensus rather than coercion. Their headless society developed sophisticated legal codes, dispute resolution mechanisms, and advocacy systems that maintain social order without traditional hierarchy. Even tech billionaire Peter Thiel reportedly keeps a copy of Jesse Byock's Viking Age Iceland on his nightstand, fascinated by this rare example of a stateless yet stable society. Far from a primitive backwater, this was a sophisticated culture that produced Europe's first parliament and literature that still captivates readers a millennium later, all while surviving in one of Earth's harshest environments. Iceland's harsh environment fundamentally shaped Viking society. Only coastal regions and sheltered valleys were habitable, with isolated, self-sufficient farms connected by paths where survival depended on everything going right. Settlers faced a bad year economy, where climate fluctuations threatened survival. During crises, farmers first sought help from their local communal unit, Hreppur, which managed resources and labor. When supplies depleted, farmers culled herds, temporarily increasing meat, but risking disaster if conditions remained poor. Housing adapted to environmental constraints. With limited timber and unsuitable volcanic rock, Icelanders built sod houses with thick, heat-retaining walls around frames of imported or driftwood timber, evolving from longhouses into multi-room structures. Environmental challenges grew as livestock grazing eroded the fragile subarctic ecology, with highland soil erosion accelerating by 920 CE. Volcanic eruptions devastated agriculture by covering grazing lands with tooth-damaging ash. Yet despite these hardships, many Viking Age farm sites remained continuously inhabited for over 1,000 years, testament to Iceland's remarkable environmental adaptation. Iceland's settlers simplified their social structure, keeping only a legislature, Lagretta, and judicial system, while eliminating elite roles and executive authority. Leadership operated as a market economy. Candidates competed for supporters to claim chieftaincies, gore, which offered prestige and legal privileges. Unlike traditional nobles, Icelandic chieftains, gore, couldn't restrict resources or command production. Their authority depended on alliances with free landholding farmers, blindar, who became their ingenmen. The chieftain-follower relationship was uniquely fluid. Farmers could switch allegiance to different chieftains if dissatisfied, with no geographical constraints binding them. This created a system where chieftains had to earn loyalty rather than demand it. Without centralized power, Icelanders avoided taxation for enforcement institutions, an economically efficient approach providing minimal services without governmental hierarchy. This decentralized self-government maintained political stability from the settlement period's end, circa 930, until the 13th century, remarkable longevity for a stateless society. The family sagas provide distinctive insights into medieval Icelandic society. Unlike European mythic origin stories, Icelanders created quasi-historical narratives about their recent settlement, using these sagas as social memory to forge a cohesive immigrant identity. These realistic stories depict disputes over land, inheritance, and status, portraying virtue and deceit, hardship and humor, revealing power struggles differently than verse-based epics common elsewhere in medieval Europe. In Njal's saga, chieftain Mord the Fiddle wielded power through legal expertise rather than combat. When his daughter's marriage went unconsummated, Mord orchestrated her divorce, then attempted to claim all marriage property at the Althing, publicly humiliating Hrud. When challenged to a duel, Mord forfeited rather than fight, earning public scorn, demonstrating how honor, family, property, and law intertwined in Icelandic society. The sagas served as social instruction, presenting scenarios for success in Iceland. They addressed handling ambitious individuals, legal precedents, advocacy interventions, and principles of reciprocity, a sophisticated storytelling tradition tailored to Iceland's unique societal needs. With law, must our land be built, or with lawlessness, laid waste? This quote from Njal's saga illustrates how Iceland built its foundation on law rather than force, unlike societies where power derived from the king's sword. Iceland's court structures evolved from Norse Germanic traditions. The springtime thing, Varing, served as the primary local assembly in May, while the Althing, Iceland's national assembly, met for 2 weeks each June at Þingvallir, combining governance with social and economic activities. The Icelandic legal system offered remarkable flexibility. Individuals could address grievances through multiple channels: self-judgment, sjálfdóm, blood vengeance with kinsmen support, formal legal procedures, or arbitration with neutral parties. Criminal acts were considered private matters between parties rather than government concerns. Penalties typically involved restitution rather than state punishment. The kin of the slain could choose their preferred resolution method, effectively balancing formal procedures with negotiated settlements and maintaining social order without centralized enforcement. Iceland prevented blood feuds through a sophisticated advocacy system where chieftains and farmers served as third-party mediators, settling disputes according to law and honor while allowing leaders to maintain their power. Success as an advocate enhanced reputation, determining one's influence in important matters. While chieftains were well-positioned, anyone could serve if asked, creating reciprocal arrangements where people tracked assistance and balanced obligations, forming the social fabric described in the sagas. Iceland's system diluted traditional kinship bonds, with nuclear families often attaching themselves to different, sometimes rival, chieftains, which affected how feuds operated. Icelandic blood feuding balanced vengeance with compromise. Unlike tribal societies where groups enabled uncompromising action, Icelandic feuds operated within a society that promoted peacemaking. Honor required some vengeance, but Icelanders controlled hatred and welcomed third-party intervention. Blood vengeance became an option rather than duty, with material compensation often substituting for bloodshed. Iceland functioned as a great village, a single dispersed community sharing common judicial institutions, producing personalized violence involving small groups rather than large corporate bodies. Iceland's power balance shifted dramatically in the 12th and 13th centuries as society stratified. The number of chieftains diminished while remaining leaders grew more powerful, until six large families monopolized control, destabilizing society during the 1220-1260 age of the Sturlungs. As emerging overlords, Storgar, focused on controlling regions, big farmers, Storbrunder, became middlemen between common farmers and powerful chieftains. Despite their political dominance, these overlords didn't disrupt Iceland's cultural continuity. King Haakon of Norway exploited this internal strife. From 1262 to 1264, he offered Icelanders an alternative to the turmoil caused by ambitious chieftains. Farmers and remaining chieftains accepted, allowing Haakon to abolish all chieftaincies and end the Storgar class. The formal agreement, the Old Covenant, Gamli Sáttmáli, guaranteed the king would let us enjoy peace and the Icelandic laws, while permitting him to modify or propose new laws. By turning to a distant king, farmers preserved many traditional rights threatened by local chieftains. Iceland's Viking Age experiment ended when internal contradictions led to civil strife and Norwegian intervention. Yet its legacy lives on in Iceland's modern democratic traditions and in the continuing fascination with a society where law, rather than force, built the land.